Well, guys, things certainly fell in place for the Patriots on Sunday.
And thankfully, they've been falling apart for the Texans for about a month now, and the Colts upset them, and Patriots sitting pretty with a bye.
Well, that's where you want to be. I mean,
because I get a weekend off.
That's true. But you play all season. You want to be in that catbird seat, you know, waiting to see who you're going to play. And speaking of that, who are the Patriots? I mean, we got one of three teams that the Patriots could possibly play, right?
Right. Anybody but Cincinnati, right?
Anybody but Cincinnati.
So do you want the sinking ship that is the Texans?
Yes.
The ship that was sinking, that's Baltimore, that maybe is floating a little bit again, or the great theatrical story of the Colts?
Right. I mean, it's a good question. You know, I think I hate the whole discussion of, you know, who would you rather play?
Because Colts.
Any team that comes to Gillette during that divisional round obviously won their game the week before, so they're playing better.
Doesn't mean they're a good team. No, you saw the Denver Broncos last year, and they were a second bye.
But you can talk about the Texans having, you know, falling apart, but if they come to Gillette, that just means they turn things around. So
against other teams. But last time they were at Gillette, they stunk.
They did, but that was a long time ago.
The Colts, last time they were here, they stunk.
Yeah, see, I'm looking more at what they've done over the last 2 months of the season. You know, struggling in games that they won. They had opportunities at home to beat.
I think about the Texans.
The Texans. Right. That's why I want. I mean, this isn't, like, to me, one game in Gillette Stadium that caused it to fall apart. I mean, Jacksonville overtime, Detroit overtime. These are bad teams that combined for 6 wins.
Yeah.
You know, they're going overtime with.
What about
to me right now? Houston is just a sinking ship. No, that's why I think I would.
And they've been taking on water for.
What about
quite a while.
You know the Colts in Baltimore? You know Baltimore, we know has the talent, and they were struggling with injuries. To your point, Fred, if Baltimore was to come away with a win and then come, that might be a different kind of team that you have to play there. To me, the team that you want to see right now, even though that they have the best record, is Houston.
What about specifically in terms of matchup against the Patriots? You know, like for example, defenses. We know J.J. Watt's a great player, and he came close to, you know, really having an impact on that game, but he was kind of a one-man band. If they could get it together, do you think that Texans defense, for example, could give the Patriots more trouble than, say, the Colts defense?
Yeah, I think the Colts are the best matchup for the Patriots. If you look at every, you know, Bill Belichick the second time around against a young quarterback, what is he going to learn from Andrew Luck the first time around? They don't have a great running game. They don't have a great defense. Their defense a little bit soft, pass rush based. They've done pretty well against Freeney and Mathis over the years. They have one guy as a receiver in Reggie Wayne. Generally, when the Patriots only have to stop one guy, you know, see earlier in the year with Larry Fitzgerald, they are able to do that. I just don't think the Colts have enough depth and versatility on either side of the ball to challenge the Patriots.
The matchup thing, and specifically, Andy's dead on with the Colts defense, is a defense that the Patriots have just absolutely obliterated over the years. That kind of style. Now, I know it's a little different with Chuck Pagano coming in. It's not Indianapolis. It's not the old Tampa 2. They play a little bit differently, but, I mean, you saw the 59 they put up. I know some of that was defensive, but that's a matchup to me. They don't have the horses on defense. I think Houston could bother you. Baltimore, we know, can.
Right.
They've done that enough over the last couple of years. So to me, the matchup defensively is Indianapolis.
That's where I'm kind of leaning. That's why I wanted to steer you guys in that.
To the Colts. Yeah,
I still would rather play Houston because there's something going on with Indianapolis, and I don't know, you know, exactly how to explain it, but you see, you know, the magical ways they're winning games and the just the emotion that's going into it. I know it's going to end for them. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. It's going to end, and in my, you know, who better than the Patriots? It's someone's going to beat them. But I would rather just stay away from that kind of a story right now. I think Houston's a sinking ship.
As long as you have good sound reasoning. They got
well, I mean, well, how else can you explain it? Yeah. I mean, it's a two-win team that's won 11 games. You know,
it's a tangible intangible.
Yeah, I mean, it's just I would rather not have to deal with that kind of emotion.
Can you talk to my grandpa?
Getting back to Sunday, 28-0 win over the Dolphins. Great way to finish out the season, and even better, good to see Rob Gronkowski back.
The best thing to see him back, even though I was scared to do it, and I'm not sure I even would have done it.
I think he was scared, too.
I think he was, too, learning what he could do. But just to get him a few reps, and he was funny post-game, just not answering questions, not really sure when he was cleared to play or, you know, whatever the coaches wanted me to do, I was out there doing it. But it couldn't have worked out any better. I mean, he clearly didn't get hurt or more hurt, and he catches a touchdown pass. He gets a chance to block a little bit. It was the perfect, you know, perfect game to knock some rust off and get some reps without really needing to push it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I thought he looked good. Obviously, his reps were a little bit limited, but he was out there in a lot of plays, you know, both blocking and, you know, when it was his number was called. And I think he looked okay. 2 receptions out of 4 targets and the touchdown.
So we saw some plays where, you know, he didn't catch the ball, but he ran downfield, and a linebacker or safety drifts with him, and all of a sudden you have Welker or Hernandez catching it underneath. That's as big as the touchdown, in my opinion, because we've seen especially Hernandez kind of struggle, you know, trying to find himself for a while. And same thing in this game. He didn't look great, had some drops. But I think we're learning, and Paul's been talking a lot about this, Hernandez needs Gronk to kind of do his thing. That opens up room for him to work. He's not necessarily a guy that can create all his on his own.
And that's the best thing about having Gronkowski back is I think the ripple effect that it has. Tom Brady talked about it after the game. Really, for the first time all year, they're going to have all of these guys on the field together. And it opens up just a world of possibilities.
Were you encouraged by the line play, offensive line play, coming off the Jacksonville game, going into this game, a little bit worried about protecting Tom Brady? They seem to have, shored up some of the things that were bothering them the week before.
Yeah, I thought it was huge. I thought especially Sebastian Vollmer, who really struggled the last time around against Cameron Wake. It's one of those weird situations where their best pass rusher is the left defensive end, so your right tackle faces him. Wake owned him. And remember, Vollmer really looked banged up in that game, and then since then he kind of limped off with the leg injury 2 weeks ago. I thought this was a performance, and I think they had sort of heard, talking to him and Nate Solder postgame, I think they had kind of heard the criticisms of, what's happening. The team's falling apart because the offensive line is falling apart, and 11 sacks in 4 games, and all the numbers we were sort of putting out there. I thought this was a nice step in the right direction. Now you give them the 2 weeks here between games to get even healthier. They're going in the right direction, and that's a key for the offense.
When Josh McDaniels came back to run the Patriots offense, a lot of people thought the screen pass would be a bigger part of the attack. And really, it has been at times, but not that productive until Sunday. I really thought for the first time all season, the screen pass was a big play in this offense. Danny Woodhead has really been exceptional at this. I think he's been really taking advantage of his opportunities over the last month. But on Sunday night against Miami, the screen, the big run downfield, Welker had a 23-yard gain on another one. I love the screen pass. I think it does a great job in neutralizing that pass rush. That's been an issue over the last month as well. Nice to see Josh go back to the bread and butter. Another element of the offense that seemed like it was destined for change was the role for Wes Welker. First it was Julian Edelman, then it was Aaron Hernandez. Everybody seemed to have an idea of how to phase out Wes Welker in this offense. And you know what? You just couldn't do it. A million catches later, he's still the guy Tom Brady looks for. He's the guy making all the production in the slot. I can't imagine this offense without Wes Welker right now, and I won't be the first one to say it, but I might be the first one to say it in 2013. Pay the man. Now, I have to admit, I was one of the guys that really felt strongly about keeping Devin McCourty at cornerback. I thought there was too much promise from that rookie season, too much athleticism to move back so quickly to safety, but I got to tell you, the last couple of weeks when he's had to play corner, I think I was wrong. I know, hard to admit, hard to say, but I was wrong. I think he's better back there at safety. I'm going to join conventional wisdom. He looks more comfortable with the play in front of him. I don't like him chasing from behind at cornerback. I think right now, Devin McCourty is your starting safety now and moving forward.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
That's definitely something that you want to pride yourself on. And, it's a lot of emotional release, though.
New England Football Night is presented by AT&T, the nation's fastest mobile broadband network. Putnam Investments celebrates 75 years of pursuing performance excellence. Putnam is a proud partner of the New England Patriots. Images of the Week, brought to you by Jack Daniels. Drink responsibly.
All right, images of the week is some pretty cool ones from the Patriots' bye-clinching game. This first one was one of the weirder plays. I don't know where that ball was coming from out of Wes Welker. Danny Woodhead had a lot of great plays, but here's one that doesn't get talked about a lot, picking up the blitz for Tom Brady. Finally, Gil Santos was honored before the game, but as a surprise to him, Robert Kraft announced he'll be going into the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Player Perspective, brought to you by Putnam Investments.
Joined now in the Gillette Stadium locker room at Patriots defensive end Trevor Scott. And first and foremost, congratulations on, your first postseason. How excited are you to get some playoff action in?
I appreciate it. This is what, you work so hard in offseason for, all through camp. And, it's a long road, and it'll be a lot of fun.
not only you personally, but as a defense, obviously 7 sacks last week as a front. How much momentum can you build off a performance like that as a defense and as a pass rushing unit?
I mean, we have a lot of momentum right now. We're playing with a lot of confidence, and we just got to just keep it rolling, you know, throughout the playoffs.
Coach Belichick always talks about, you know, pass rush always works with pass coverage. Mm-hmm. Got to kind of work in concert together. Was last week a case where that was really happening?
Yeah, I think it definitely was. You know, it's always like, it's always hand in hand. You know, if we're getting pressure, it helps them out. And if, you know, if they're locking guys down on the outside, then it helps, you know, us out as a D-line. So we had a lot of fun, though.
The one thing that was a downside, I guess, last week is obviously Rob Ninkovich limped off with an injury. Don't know exactly what his status is, but obviously if he's limited in any way, that opens up opportunities for other guys to step in. Is that the mentality that all you guys take in those types of situations?
Yeah, it's definitely a mindset. You just have to be ready for whatever situation that's presented. Anything can happen on game day. You just got to be ready when your number's called to go in there and make plays.
You were one of the guys, obviously, that recorded one of the 7 sacks last week. I wanted to ask you, I asked Chandler this last week. When you get the sack, what goes through your mind? Because everybody does some sort of dance or release. You know, how would you describe yours, and is that something that just comes to you, or is it premeditated? How does that work?
I don't know. Sometimes I just surprise myself. I mean, you throughout the game, you play with so much emotion, and one of the things, I mean, defensive linemen, you know, making plays, you know, getting quarterback sacks, that's definitely something that you want to pride yourself on. And, you know, it's a lot of emotional release, though.
Who did you model your game after growing up? Was there any pass rushers you really liked when you were younger, and did you model anything after those guys, take things from some of those guys?
I mean, I've just kind of picked up things, you know, here and there, because, I mean, I was a tight end in college, and then, but I had, you know, some good defensive line coaches that, you know, just taught me different things here and there.
No game this week, no matchups to break down, so let's look at the first 16 games that are in the books. What jumps off the stat sheet to me? Turnovers. Patriots forced 41 takeaways this year, have forced a takeaway in 27 straight games, longest streak in the NFL, only gave it away 16 times. Turnovers have been the key to success this season, only lost the turnover battle once and lost to the 49ers. If they can keep that going in the postseason, good things ahead. And let's look at the offense. Some teams that have a 35-year-old quarterback and a 31-year-old number one receiver might be worried about getting old, slowing down, losing production. Not the Patriots. Tom Brady's 35, so what does he do? Has another MVP-caliber season, nearly 5,000 yards, 36 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions. And Wes Welker, he's slowing down, right? Well, he's slowing down to the tune of 118 catches to lead the NFL, 1,300 yards. He's still Tom Brady's go-to guy. Who knows how long these two can keep it up? Well, let's enjoy it while it lasts. Finally, let's look at the pass rush. Huge question mark heading into the season. Chandler Jones, the number one pick. Great start to the year. Missed some time due to injury. Slowed up a little bit, maybe rookie wall. But he broke through the rookie wall recently. Been more active. Team's leading tackler in the finale. And endless other guys are now contributing up front. Rob Ninkovich is injured. Don't know his status. But Justin Francis, Trevor Scott, Jermaine Cunningham is back. 7 sacks in the finale. Keep that group effort going up front. Big things for the pass defense.
Coming up on Patriots Football Weekly.
So the offense is the problem heading into the postseason.
That's not what I said. Don't put words in my mouth. You're not nearly smart enough to do that.
Patriots Football Weekly, brought to you by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com. Around the NFL.
For the first time, 3 NFL playoff teams will feature rookie quarterbacks. What's even more amazing is all 3 of those teams didn't even make the playoffs the year before. 2 of those teams had the top draft picks. So that means it was total transformation for those 3 teams. What does it all mean? Does it mean that quarterbacks are having an easier time transforming their teams and making an immediate impact? Not really. It just means that this draft happened to be one of those drafts for quarterbacks that come along once in a generation. Back in 1983, there were 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. 3 of them included John Elway, Dan Marino, Jim Kelly. Pretty good players over the course of their career. So let's enjoy this, and it's good for the league to have these types of drafts every once in a while.
Black Monday is never a good time in the NFL. Lots of guys losing their jobs all over the league. But one area that Patriots fans are always watching is New York, and specifically the Jets. Mike Tannenbaum is out as general manager, and I think the perfect way to keep this rivalry going is to add Bill Polian. I'm going to call him Bill Polian, since he calls us the Patriots. I think Bill Polian would be the perfect solution to replace Tannenbaum. Keep the hatred at a high level. Instead of the Colts, it's the Jets, and the Jets are more a natural rivalry anyway. Bill Polian, come on down.
I've said all year that I think it's a down year in terms of team talent in the NFL. A flawed team is going to win the Super Bowl. But ironically, individual talent is at its best all time. Quarterback play, phenomenal. Lots of MVP-type performances. Running back play, Adrian Peterson this close to a new record. Wide receiver, oh, Calvin Johnson, you broke Jerry Rice's record? Pretty impressive when you do anything better than Jerry Rice. Team stories, Chuck Pagano coaching, one of the greatest stories of all time. Bruce Arians filling in. Individual accomplishments, awards for the postseason, they are going to be great this year. The only thing that might not be great, the Super Bowl champion.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on.
Patriots gearing up for a bye week. Are you getting a little concerned about the offense?
I'm sorry, but I'm just not worried about Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, Aaron Hernandez. If anything, I feel better about the offense thanks to the finale than I did 2-3 weeks ago. All the guys that I was concerned about, Vollmer, looked better. Gronkowski was on the field. Hernandez, I think, is getting more back into the swing of things. I think this offense is fine hitting its stride in the postseason.
Yeah, see, it's not a major concern, but I am concerned, and it's about some of the individuals you mentioned. And it's not about their ability, it's about their health. And I don't think Aaron Hernandez is quite right. I definitely know that Rob Gronkowski's not right. He was running around with his arm draped around it by his side. I'm not sure that those guys are going to be capable physically to be themselves. And I know it's great to have all the different guys back, and I know Tom Brady mentioned that, and that's exciting. But at the same time, I think the trend here, you know, 23 points against Miami in early December, 23 points against Jacksonville, 28 against Miami, three times in the last five games under 30 points. And I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but that's a very high-scoring offense that averages well over 30. So they're being held consistently below their average. And one of the times they weren't, they fell behind by 28 points before they scored. I'm a little worried.
I think they could have scored more than 28 points in the finale had they wanted to. They went up 28-0 and cruised to victory. But the bigger issue is, you were right, they're a high-scoring offense. They were a 35-point type offense all year long without these guys all working together. Now you're getting them back. Even, okay, I'll agree with you. I'll concede. Maybe they're going to be at 85 or 90%, Hernandez, Gronkowski. But you know what? They're all together, and they make defenses think. They have more depth of weapons now.
Yeah, they do.
Even with Lloyd and Branch, they're rotating those guys through. They have so many weapons to throw at defenses, and Josh McDaniels has so many options. This team is hitting stride at the right time.
And I'll tell you something else I worry about. I didn't even get to it. You mentioned Vollmer playing well against Miami. Absolutely, that offensive line did the job against Miami. But I think that they were sort of trending downward a little bit heading into that game. It was better in this game. We'll see if it's better in the playoffs. But if it's not, we know that that's generally been the formula to derail this offense.
And there's no question. That's why the games you point
to,
it was the health of the offensive line that allowed more pressure, that got to Brady, that limited the scoring, that dug holes, that caused turnovers.
That's why
I'm worried.
It was
all easy to figure out. No, I'm telling you, the offensive line looked better and more healthy in the finale. And oh, by the way, they have 2 weeks off, so quit your worrying. The offense will be fine. If you want to criticize this team, shouldn't we be looking at defense and not Tom Brady and Wes Welker and Logan Mankins and Sebastian Vollmer and all the All-Pros and Pro Bowlers on offense?
So you think the 7 points they scored in the second half when they were, quote, coasting home to victory, they were fine again? The shutout they posted, that's the thing that has you concerned on defense?
Yeah, because without Ryan Tannehill, you wouldn't have had a shutout.
But defensively,
thank Ryan Tannehill for shutting out the Dolphins.
They've played better as of late defensively. They're not playing better than they were early in the year on offense.
So the offense
that's
is
why
the
I'm
problem heading into the postseason.
That's not what I said.
Don't
put words in my mouth. You're not nearly
you
smart enough to
score.
Do that. Don't
you
try
don't
to do it
here. You don't think they're going to score. That's the problem. They're not going to score enough points
enough
to win in the postseason.
Enough.
Against these vaunted defenses from Indianapolis.
Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Patriots Football Weekly is brought to you in part by Roach Brothers Tasty Tailgating, official tailgate partner of New England Football Night. Read and React, brought to you by Yokohama.
All right, it's playoff time, and that means the questions heat up. But first, Andy, the
final Wilson Hart Power Index.
Hot off the presses, exciting final weekend, obviously, in New England. And the Patriots moved up four spots to finish number three overall in the final rankings.
Wow.
Also moving up in a new number one, Pete Carroll's Red Hawk, Seattle Seahawks, number one. Two spot goes to the Falcons, four, Broncos and Niners tied. Texans, Packers after that. Interesting, number eight, Chicago Bears, a team that their head coach was asked to no longer be their head coach despite finishing in the top 10 in the Wilson Hart Power Index. A couple interesting down the bottom. We've talked about the Colts before. They remain ranked 23rd despite making the playoffs. And the Minnesota Vikings ranked 21st despite making the playoffs with the late surge.
Okay. Well, it's just 17 weeks, but it's starting to make a little bit of
sense. Oh, because the Patriots are near the top. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, the Vikings down four after beating the Packers to get to the playoffs.
Right. Oh, shut up,
makes a lot of
you.
Sense.
All right, let's get to the questions that you sent to askpfw@patriots.com. This first one comes from Anthony Curtis. And obviously Monday was Black Monday in the NFL. And he says, with Romeo Crennel being fired at Kansas City, do you think there's a chance that he could come back to the Patriots?
Yes, I do. I think there's a chance. I'm not sure it's going to happen. I think they've had some opportunities to bring Romeo back in the past, and they haven't done it. So I'm not sure there's mutual interest there. But if Romeo's still interested in coaching, I think it would make sense to bring a guy like that, a veteran presence, a steady hand, a guy who was known as being a really, really good communicator here. And I think that might be one area that he could help. I'm not sure it's going to be a situation like last year with Josh McDaniels where, you're bringing him in for the playoffs. Right. I don't know if that'll happen again, but, maybe next year that's something to explore. I'd be for it. I think Romeo was a terrific coach here. I think he did a great job. And like I said, the veterans really talked about how well he communicated. They could use that.
Okay, and finally, Doug writes in, and he's wondering if there's any chance that the Patriots might go out after Larry Fitzgerald in the offseason.
Sure. I'm all for another one. I'm all for it. I'm going to take the role of Nick Caserio here, and I'm going to say absolutely we're interested in bringing Larry Fitzgerald. Now, I'm not so sure the Cardinals are interested in giving them to us, but why let the details stand in the way? Here's probably, along with Calvin Johnson, one of the most dynamic outside receivers there is in football. Obviously, that's an element to this offense. You talk about Brandon Lloyd, and he's done some things well for this Patriots offense, but it's a whole different animal with Larry Fitzgerald again. Probably a pipe dream. Not sure that Arizona's looking to. They need to build around Larry Fitzgerald, not get rid of him, players like that.
I would agree. All right, remember, send your questions to askpfw@patriots.com. We'll answer them next week as the Patriots prepare for their divisional round playoff game.